This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
News outlets around the world are reporting the news that the British Medical Journal investigative reporter Brian Deer has made the case that a quote-unquote infamous Lancet study wasn't just wrong when it said that there's a connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. It was actually fraudulent and knowingly so. Dan Olmsted is the co-author of The Age of Autism, Mercury Medicine, and a Man-Made Epidemic with co-author Mark Blaxel. He's also one of the editors and founders of The Age of Autism blog, a daily web newspaper of the autism epidemic at ageofautism.com. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Coy. Good to be here.
Dan, what were your thoughts when you read this news?
Well, I think first it's important to say that, you know, our book is on looking at mercury in the environment, including vaccines, as a possible cause of autism. This is the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, which does not have mercury in it because since it's a live virus vaccine, the mercury would kill the vaccine and make it useless. But a lot of parents over many years have observed and said that they believe their child was fine and then developed autism immediately after getting the MMR and also developed some gut issues of all kinds. And what Andy Wakefield did back in 1998 was publish a paper, a very short paper, in which 12 children were examined whose parents said exactly what I just described. And he said this was enough of a pattern that it should call for some further discussion. Now, that was heavily criticized, especially by the drug industry, who, you know, want to make the argument that there is absolutely no connection between vaccines and autism. And Brian Deer, a journalist with the Times of London, has been crusading for a long time to undercut, discredit Wakefield's work. And it's been pretty effective. You know, he was tried before a medical council in England, and his license was revoked. Now he's in the United States, and he's sort of become the devil in terms of what the medical industry thinks is this very bogus idea about autism and vaccines.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted. The book is The Age of Autism, and I want to underscore something here, Dan, and this is the takeaway here for people who have seen this story and wondered, well, you know, how would we react to that, those of us who think that there is scientific evidence that connects mercury and vaccines and autism. And the takeaway is this. Dr. Andy Wakefield's study in The Lancet, which was published years ago, made a connection between what he believed was a connection between the symptoms of what we call autism, some of the related symptoms of problems with the gut. A lot of these kids have problems with their guts and processing food and diarrhea. And his connection that he believed was between that and the MMR vaccine. And as you point out, the MMR vaccine does not have mercury in it. It is a mercury-free vaccine. And he was saying that there's a direct connection between, a possible direct connection between this one vaccine and autism.
And actually, yeah. he was quoting the parents who told him and his fellow researchers that is what they noticed. That's the connection that they noticed. Now, what Brian Deer has done most recently, and this is what was published in the British Medical Journal, which gives it this patina of, you know, of truth, is he went back and found, I guess, almost all of the 12 families that were in this original study in 1998, and based on his conversations with them and also having obtained these medical records, which are supposed to be private, but he got his hands on them, he says there are huge discrepancies and that Wakefield basically had to have perpetrated a deliberate hoax here, that some of these kids didn't really have autism, that some of them had problems well before they got the MMR shot, that he collapsed the time period after the MMR shot and the onset of symptoms, and that the whole thing is a fraud. So, you know, it goes from being sort of a dubious study to an unethical study to a fraud. You know, they're going to be hauling Wakefield away in chains next if he has his way. And I would, you know, just say that even though in our book our focus was more on mercury, we did devote a part of a chapter to this. We looked into it, and we talked, actually, Mark Blaxel, my co-author, and I, to the mother of the very first child who reached out to Wakefield. And she describes something that's very consistent with what Wakefield says, not with what his critics say. She said her son was just fine, and at 18 months, he got an MMR shot, and almost immediately he started having problems with sleep and eye contact and repetitive motion and also these same gut issues. So, you know, I only know, you know, firsthand about my own research, but in that case, it lines up with what Wakefield said.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted. The website is ageofautism.com for more information. And we're talking about the recent news of a study published in the British Medical Journal, which says that Dr. Andy Wakefield's research, which linked the MMR vaccine, a mercury-free vaccine, by the way, which linked the MMR live vaccine to symptoms of autism, was not only wrong, it was fraudulent. And they continue to do all they can, Dan, to demonize Dr. Wakefield and his research. And one of the things that I'm most troubled by here is the conclusion that is drawn by the media, and whether it's the New York Times, the Post, NPR, they're all drawing this conclusion. Well, I guess this means then that there's no connection between vaccines and autism, when I guess it's kind to say they're painting with a broad brush. That's absolutely incorrect to draw that conclusion.
Well, of course, this is just one of the, I don't know what it is, 13 or 14 different vaccinations that kids now get in, something like 34 shots by their preschool years. But also, just think about this. I mean, this study is 5 pages long. It's called ileal lymphoid hyperplasia. It's very obscure, in a medical journal in England. And it is impossible to imagine that it would have this kind of continued relevance if it were not for the fact that so many parents subsequently had this experience with their child and believed that Andrew Wakefield had alerted the medical industry to something that it chose to ignore. So, you know, and it points to the dangers that may exist in too many vaccines, too early in live viruses when they're combined. All Andy Wakefield called for after his research was that until something more definitive could be done, these three components of the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella, should be separated out and given in separate shots over the space of a few months. At that time in England, that was possible, but immediately the medical establishment went into overdrive, cut out those separate shots, stuck with the combined shot. Then there were people who didn't want it because they were scared. Then they blamed Wakefield for bringing measles back. It's an ugly story, and it's not the one that people are getting by watching CNN.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted. TheAgeOfAutism.com is the website and the title of the book. One of the things I'm most troubled by about all of this is really the effort on the part of the pharmaceutical industry and many in the medical establishment to demonize anyone who questions the safety of vaccines. I mean, they really try to shut you down and demonize you when as the parent of a child with autism, whether I have a son with autism or not, why shouldn't I be allowed to stand up and question the safety of that? I've spoken to many physicians since my son was diagnosed many years ago, and they've said, yeah, I've often thought that they're getting too many shots too early, that we should be spacing them out, that a parent should be able to get the shot when they want to get it and not be compelled or forced into getting all these big, huge combined shots. And it just treats our children like guinea pigs.
Well, you know, what the public health officials would say is that these shots are necessary. They've prevented countless deaths, and that the very questioning of them could lead and has led to more deaths. And so that's a pretty strong argument, but it doesn't really wash. For example, Bernardine Healy, who was former head of the National Institutes of Health and very respected researcher, has said that she thinks the science is not in yet. We need to do more of it. We need to look at kids who got sick, which is just the kind of kids that Andy Wakefield was describing, and that the American people are smart enough and have enough common sense to take the truth and deal with it and not say, oh, my God, you know, we can never use a vaccine again. Polio is better. Let's go back to the dark ages and let's all die. That's not the issue. And so I think the real issue is probably vested interests, money at stake, careers and reputations, and public health mission, which is all important. This is not to say it's a giant conspiracy. People try to paint us as quacks who think that there's this huge conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy, but there's a reckless I think, disregard here. Our book traces the history of mercury in medicine and manufacturing, and I think based on that, there's no question that the fact that mercury continues to be used in flu shots, for example, given to pregnant women and babies, is unconscionable, does cause autism, must stop, and the fact that the medical profession is advocating the use of mercury in that way is just is quite revealing.
I am reminded of the efforts years ago to demonize Ralph Nader and anyone who questioned the safety of automobiles without seatbelts. And it used to be sacrilege to stand up and say, I think seatbelts ought to be in cars. You know, you were crazy. You were a quack. You were, how dare you question the safety of our product, of our automobiles? And, decades later now, we have laws that say you must buckle up.
Right. And, the American people, I think, are getting the picture here. Even this intense effort to, drag Wakefield even further through the mud here starts to look like overkill. And I think, there's high percentages of parents in particular, but of Americans in general, who say in scientific polls that they're concerned about a relationship between vaccines and side effects, and particularly autism. They want more vaccine safety research. They want studies of vaccinated versus never vaccinated kids. They want more options. And so, it's a dark moment in the sense that it just looks like everybody's being dragged down to hell who is sticking their head above the water. But ultimately, Andy Wakefield, I think, is a hero. I think he'll be vindicated, and I think the truth will come out, and I just hope it's sooner rather than later, because kids who are affected need help, and we don't want any more kids to be affected.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted, co-author, along with Mark Blaxell, of The Age of Autism. Absolute must reading if you want to understand this entire issue of the relationship between the use of mercury in our medicines and vaccines and the autism epidemic. So, Dan, let me put the question to you like this, just point blank. Does this study that's getting all this media attention, this study in the British Medical Journal, which really isn't a study, I guess it's just a more of a newspaper article, but the British Medical Journal gladly published it to give it their stamp of advocacy. Does this study conclusively say then that there is no relationship between vaccines and autism?
No, not at all. In fact, there's more and more evidence that there is a connection. Coy, it's anecdotal, it's historical. Studies that show that Hep B at birth is correlated with a higher risk of autism in boys, studies in primates and monkeys and other animals that show clear evidence of harm. And this is, monkeys are the way that vaccines are tested by the drug companies. So let's not say that, well, they're not humans. Well, they're not, but they are the kind of animals that give us clues to what's happening in people. And so we're starting to get the picture here, and as the fog that is being produced right now will dissipate, and I think parents' concerns will continue even stronger.
Dan Olmsted, a co-author of The Age of Autism. Dan, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Koya, great, and I expect to be down in Charlottesville this spring to sign some books, so I'll look forward to seeing you.
Good deal. We'll definitely let folks know where you will be speaking, and we'll keep folks posted. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Before we break here for CBS News at the top of the hour, I just want to give a postscript and see if I can't put a bow on this discussion that we just had with Dan Olmsted. Again, his website is ageofautism.com. You're hearing news widely reported around the world that the British Medical Journal is concluding that there's no evidence of a link between vaccines and autism, and that's how they're spinning it. That is certainly how the pharmaceutical industry wants it spun, when in fact this isn't really a scientific study. It's a newspaper article by a London Times journalist who really demonizes this researcher for even raising any question about the safety of vaccines. The vaccine in question is the MMR vaccine, which has no mercury in it. So this is not a story about the relationship between the mercury in vaccines and autism, because the vaccine in question in this very study doesn't have any mercury in it. It's a live vaccine. You don't put mercury in a live vaccine or it would kill it. I've spent many years with this subject, and regular listeners and people who know me personally and my family know how autism has touched my life irreparably, tragically touched my life and the life of those close to me, especially my son. And I will tell you, once upon a time, I had a perfectly healthy little boy. When he was born at 4.5 pounds, a twin, he had a 10 Apgar. He was perfectly healthy. I remember the day when Whitman stopped playing. I remember the day when he just stared at his hand. I remember when he started salivating uncontrollably. I remember when he couldn't help but walk on his toes. It was impossible for him to put his feet flat on the ground. I remember when the diarrhea started. He did not have a solid stool until he was 5. I remember all of this. I remember a child who cried and screamed uncontrollably for hours upon end all through the night because his stomach hurt. What has happened to these children is so far beyond some genetic mystery brain disorder. These children are literally sick through their bodies. And that is what Dr. Andy Wakefield in London was trying to get at. He was trying to look at these symptoms, this constellation of tragic symptoms that we call autism. I remember one time turning to a doctor and saying, how does a genetic brain disorder cause diarrhea? Uncontrolled diarrhea running down his legs at all hours of the day. And the answer was, yeah, you just see that with autism. That was the answer from a scientist, from a medical professional. Yeah, well, we don't know. As far as I'm concerned, these children have been poisoned. And that is what we see. Where that poison comes from, frankly, I think it comes from everywhere. It's in the air, it's in the food, it's in our medicines, it's certainly in the vaccines. We are asking our newest generation, we are asking the children that are born today, and certainly in the last 20 years, to live in a toxic soup that no human being has ever had to endure. And we see more and more cancers, more and more autism, more kids with walking problems, with whooping coughs, with allergies, with asthma, with the need for glasses. And we are wondering, yes, what the hell has happened? And we should be asking those questions, and we should be demanding that every study be done that can show conclusively that our medicines and vaccines are safe. This latest British medical journal screed against Dr. Andy Wakefield is not that.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.